pray, Father, for all those that have lost loved ones during this whole pandemic. And God, we cry out to you for mercy. Lord, there are no words that we can say. Lord, we just ask for your comfort. Lord, your peace, your presence, Lord. When you walk into the room, Lord, when we sense and feel your presence, there's nothing like that. So, Lord, the promise is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so, Lord, we cry out to you for comfort, for healing, for mercy. Lord, we cry out to you for mercy on our land. Lord, we humble ourselves. We bow before you. You are the Holy One. You are the Righteous One. You are the True One. Lord, the Word says that just and true are your judgments, O Lord. And Father, we cry out to you. We thank you, Lord, for your Word that says where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, your Word says humble. You oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Only you, Lord, can heal. Only you, Lord, can bring the peace that our nation needs. Only you, Lord, can bring healing to the racial division. And so, Lord, we just come before you and say, we don't have the answers, and, Lord, only you do. And so, Lord, mercy in Jesus' name. We cry out to you for wisdom for our leaders, Lord. Give them wisdom. We pray, Lord, those that are just taking advantage, the anarchy, the confusion, the hatred, and the murder, God, that it would stop. And, Lord, that there would be peace in our land. There would be healing in our land. We pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for faithful givers. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for every man, woman, child. And Lord, we pray you would bless them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the offering, and we pray you would bless it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
protected the Lord. The Lord kept reaching out to them, but they did not listen. They did not heed. And so judgment came. And so Daniel and three of his friends, there were many others, but the book of Daniel is about those four, they were taken from Judah into Babylon. And again, 14 years old, can you imagine? 14-year-old boys, and they're taken out of home, stripped from their families, their names are stripped from them, and they're brought to Babylon to learn about the culture, learn about the language. They were going to be essentially brainwashed, and they come, and Daniel obeyed the word of the Lord. It's the first lesson from exile. Daniel obeyed the word of the Lord. In Daniel chapter 1, it says that these young men were taken. Daniel 1 verse 5, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. But Daniel, verse 8, resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. There were very strict laws in Deuteronomy and Leviticus of what the Jews could eat and what they couldn't eat, of what they could drink and what they couldn't. And what was assigned these men, it was unclean for them. And Daniel, it says Daniel resolved that he would not do that. What kind of guts did it take for a 14-year-old boy to do that? And where do you think he had learned those laws? Where do you think that resolve had been taught to him? His parents are not mentioned by name, but I would really like to know who Daniel's parents were, because what a young man to stand and being obedient to the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the law of Moses, it says, this is a commandment that of parents, that you shall teach the law diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And in Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, talking about the law of God, you shall teach the law to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. And Daniel's parents had done that. They had taught Daniel the law of God, and there can kids learn to be steadfast and faithful without faithful instruction of the parents? You really can. And children are watching us. I've never had biological children, but I've done a lot of youth ministry, and I know as a kid growing up and parents, your children are watching you. Children are watching you. And the youth in the church are watching us, and sometimes in a very uncomfortable way, because they see us when we fall. They see us when we make mistakes. They see us when we're hypocrites, when we're saying one thing and we're doing another thing. And Daniel's parents had taught him the law of God. And not only had they taught it to him, but they had modeled that for him. And one of the things in my journey in youth ministry, and I've seen it in church a lot, and that some parents will abdicate their responsibility to teach their children and give that to the church. And parents, the church needs, I need to be faithful in teaching the children. We need to be faithful as a church in doing that. But the number one teacher of the Bible in your family, parents, that's you. That's you. And the law of Moses was very clear on says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul's saying, I thank God whom I serve, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. And I remember your tears. I long to see you. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. There's a lot of talk in our culture about fatherless and single mothers. And we don't know what happened to Timothy's daddy, but we do know that his mama and his grandmother, they prayed for him and they modeled that for him. So I want you to hear me, saints of the Lord, model that for your children. Model that for your grandchildren. Read the scriptures and pray with them. The best thing you can do for your little ones is that they can see you praying, because prayer is more caught than taught. I learned how to pray by hanging out with women and men who prayed, and I was very shy, and I didn't like praying out loud, but long before I was a preacher, I learned to pray, and hanging out with bold, older women in the Lord that would come, and we would gather around the altar 3 days a week at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would pray, and I didn't have much to say, but I would listen to those women and see them weeping before the Lord, praying for the lost, and thinking, wow, wow, what love they have in the Lord. How do, you know, and just, you see that as a young person, and that changes you. And so don't underestimate your power as mothers and grandmothers, aunts and uncles, in praying for your little ones, in just reading the scriptures with them and praying with them. And Daniel's parents modeled that for him. So Daniel, when the unthinkable happened, and he is literally kidnapped and taken away, and he's a refugee now in Babylon, and his name is being stripped away, and they're trying to brainwash him, he's resolved. He's not wishy-washy. He doesn't compromise. Daniel obeyed the word of the Lord. 14 years old, and he obeyed the word of the Lord. The thing that Jesus, and it says this in the Old Testament, and Jesus reiterated it in the New Testament. In 1 Samuel 15, Samuel's talking to God, and God's saying, more than sacrifice, I want obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will, you remember, you will obey my commandments. And so we need to be men and women of the word. And Daniel, again, is a young person, 14 years old. Daniel was obedient to the word of the Lord. And he wasn't ornery about it. He was respectful. He wasn't rude. He wasn't arrogant. But he was respectful and he was obedient. And the second lesson that we learned from Daniel, Daniel 2, Daniel 4, and Daniel 5, Daniel was bold in speaking the word of the Lord. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, who we've looked at, he was kind of mentally unstable. He was up and down and up and down and up and down. And in Daniel chapter 2, he has a dream, and he tells all of his wise men, I not only want you to tell me the dream, but I want you to tell me the interpretation. And he tells them, if you don't tell me the, and they're like, how, that's not possible. You haven't told us the dream, and you want us to tell you the dream and the interpretation? And he says, if you can't do it, I'm going to kill you. And so Daniel and his three friends, they're like, Lord, we're going to die. We need you to help. We need you, Lord, to give us wisdom. And they fast and they pray, and God does that. And they go, Daniel goes to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells them the dream, and he tells them the interpretation. And you look back in Daniel chapter 2, that dream was a little bit tough because it was about kingdoms, and he saw Nebuchadnezzar, but he also saw other kingdoms coming and destroying Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar honors Daniel. And so would that have been a hard thing for a young man to do, to go and deliver that word to a king? King, you've got a powerful kingdom, but there's going to be one later that's going to come, and they're going to take you out. I wouldn't want to deliver that word. And yet Daniel does that. Daniel delivered the word of the Lord. And he does it again. I want you to note in Daniel how it gets a little bit, God keeps up in the ante, comes over to Daniel chapter 4. And Daniel now is an older man, And he's not older. Well, I'm sorry. Somebody told me, I have friends that listen to, we'll debrief my sermons every week. And I had a preacher tell me, like, April, be careful on that older man thing. And Daniel, he's like, be careful, because that makes me feel really old. So Daniel was, he was probably maybe my age, in Daniel chapter 4. But Nebuchadnezzar, again, has a dream. And this time, Nebuchadnezzar calls him in, and he said, okay, Daniel, it's okay. Tell me what this means. Nebuchadnezzar tells him the dream, and Daniel, if you look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 19, Daniel was dismayed, and his thoughts alarmed him. As Nebuchadnezzar tells him this dream, he knows that it's a warning. He knows that God is warning him, and Nebuchadnezzar, you need to humble yourself. You need to yield to the Lord. If you don't, you are going to be a madman, and you're going to crawl around on the ground, and you're going to be completely out of your mind. And he sees that, and it completely alarmed him. And yet, does Daniel water it down? Does he do that? He doesn't. He delivers the word of the Lord. And I so admire that. As a preacher, as I listen to the voice of the Lord was very clear with me when I came here, and he said, April, I want you to preach what I give you. And there have been times that I haven't wanted to do that. Like, Lord, I don't want to, you know, Lord. But as preachers and ministers of the gospel, we preach what the Lord gives us. And Daniel did not back down, and he was bold, and he shared with the king. And the king did not heed, and we know that story, been through it. The Lord humbled him, and yet Nebuchadnezzar repented, and the Lord brought restoration to him. And we're given wishy-washy throughout Daniel. He landed good, but Daniel was bold in declaring the word of the Lord. And we see that again in Daniel chapter 5, when probably the grandson, Belshazzar, is throwing a party, and he's like, oh, let's bring in all that gold that was taken out of Judah. Let's bring that in. He's mocking God, mocking the holy things of God. They have this great party, and God had been reaching out to him. He had been warned through his grandfather. He knew what pride would do, but he just kept going. He did not yield. He did not heed, and he kept in his arrogance and pride, and God's judgment finally came on him, and there was a writing on the wall, and it says that he was completely dismayed, completely terrified, and calls in Daniel. And Daniel, by then, he's an old man. He's 90 years old. And Daniel, in so much wisdom, he says to him in Daniel chapter 5, verse 24, Belshazzar, from the presence of God, the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Skipping down to verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar the Chaldean king was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being 62 years old. Daniel, as a young man, as a middle-aged man, and as an old man, it's kind of like God kept upping the ante for him. Daniel, will you speak your word of God as a young man with boldness? Yes, he did. Daniel, will you speak the word of God with boldness as a middle-aged man? And he did. Daniel, will you deliver a really hard word? Will you deliver it? And Daniel did. And as saints of the Lord, in a culture that's growing increasingly hostile to the world, to the word of God, to Christianity, to anything holiness, to anything, we need to be faithful and be bold in declaring the word of the Lord. And Daniel did that. He spoke the word of God with boldness. And the third lesson we can learn from Daniel is Daniel was courageous in standing up. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Our God is able, he is willing, but if not, we're going to stand and we will not bow. And where do you get that kind of backbone? We're going to need, Church of God, that kind of backbone in the days ahead. We need to stand. And where does that come from? That doesn't happen overnight. It happens now as we read his word, as we get grounded and rooted, and they stand. And they turn up that fiery furnace so hot that it burned up the guards. But then who was in there? You had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there was somebody else because Jesus was in there with them. And God delivered them, and he brought them out. They had courage to stand. And in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's, they're jealous. He's an old man, and those that are around him are jealous. And they try to take him out, and they couldn't find any fault with him because he lived such a holy life, such a life of integrity. And they said, the only way we can get Daniel is if we go after the law of his God. And so Darius is manipulated and into making a decree that anybody who prays to anybody other than him will be thrown into a den of lions. And Daniel hears that decree, but he's not intimidated. And as had been his habit, 3 days a week, he knelt down and he prayed. And Darius didn't want to do it, but he had to do it because of the decree. He took Daniel, threw him into the den of lions, but God delivered him. Daniel had the courage to stand. Where does that come from? One of the few parables that that Jesus ever explained was the parable of the soils. And he warns us that some of us are like hard ground, that the word of God, we hear the word of God, but we leave, Satan comes and he plucks it out. And some of us, we hear the word of the Lord, it takes a little bit of root, but then tribulation comes, we want to please people other than God, and so we just forget it. Some of us are thorny soil. We hear the word of the Lord, we receive it, but the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of pleasure, and the cares of this world choke out the word of God. We're living in a day and age, and I hope 6 months from now, you can come to me and say, April, you were wrong. Because I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. But unless things change in our country, law, we need to stand in a way that we've never stood before. We need to get in the word of God now and stand on it now, because the way things are going, it's just going to get harder and harder and harder and harder. When I pray and I ask the Lord, Lord, what's going on? All I hear is I hear him say, turn, 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 turn. We are literally watching in our country right now. Romans chapter 1 talks about the judgment of God, and that when we keep turning away and where our hearts get hard and we keep going our own way, God's finally, it says that his hand is removed and God gives them over. And we are seeing that in our country right now. We need to be in the word of God more than we've ever needed it before. We need to be good soil. Don't allow, as things are getting back to some semblance of normal, don't allow the cares of this world, the pursuit of other things, to choke out the word of God in your life. Daniel is one of the most beautiful examples of what it looks like when we are good soil that I've ever seen. Daniel was obedient to the word of the Lord. Daniel was bold in declaring the word of the Lord. Daniel was courageous in standing up for the Lord. That did not happen by accident. That did not happen overnight. It was consistent. Saints of the Lord, will we heed? Will we turn? Will we humble ourselves? have boldness to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, that we would not compromise, that we wouldn't seek to please men, Lord, rather than you, but Lord, we would have undivided hearts and we would be bold in our witness. And Lord, you would give us, as they prayed in Acts chapter 4, that you would stretch out your hand, you would give boldness, Lord, to your church, Lord, and you would stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders. Lord, we have not yet shed blood in this nation, but Lord, there are many throughout the world, in China and North Korea, that are. And so, Lord, we just pray for boldness in this hour, for courage in this hour, Lord, that we would not shrink back, but Lord, we would be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Lord, we wouldn't be rude and ornery, but Lord, we would be bold. We would be bold, Lord, bold in sharing your word. And Lord, I pray you give us courage to stand. So Lord, if we're ever threatened, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, Lord, that we would stand for you. Lord, we would not waver. And in this time, Lord, right now, that we would be men and women of your word, Lord, that we would read your word, that we would pray, that we would listen, that we would heed, that we would be good soil. Lord, I thank you for the promise, Lord, that you will lead us, that you are a shepherd, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that surely goodness and mercy shall run after us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so, Lord, fill us up with your spirit. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us hearts that are steadfast. And we praise you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Our nation needs you. And, Lord, we know it starts with us. So, God, have mercy. Give us courage in this hour. We thank you, Lord, for these lessons from Daniel. And, Lord, I pray we would heed, that we would hear, and we would obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Like to stand, you can stand, you can remain seated, but just the words of all the way my Savior leads me. Hear the word. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Many of you know the gospel, but if you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are loved. And God sent his Son into the world. He died on the cross for your sins. And if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just call on the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you lead us, that you guide us. And Lord, you are our Savior. And Lord, you're coming back as judge. And Lord, I pray that we would be ready. Give us courage, give us boldness, give us steadfast hearts, Lord, so we can be your faithful witnesses.